Oh, yeah. Well, when I looked at the mechanical, the electrical one that we got, I could see how it worked, but it seemed to be lacking something. And I think what it was lacking is that there is compression. Yeah, when I say compression, if you were sort of, you need, it's gravity that sort of brings it down. So the weight of the apples are pushing them onto the blade. Well, I quite like that idea, but I thought to myself, it needs, this thing needs to be transportable that I'm going to make, and I'm going to make it out of wood. I'd already cut down this piece of beech tree, and it had been cut up and planked. It was in my garage, along with some ash as well. So I already had the materials to make it. So I set about designing this thing. I'd seen a couple of ones that people had already made, but the problem I could see with all of the ones that I saw was that they were sort of like a wheel with blades on, like a funnel that you put the apples in, but the apples just seemed to bounce around on there rather than be chopped up. And eventually they would get chopped, but they just spent a lot of time just bouncing around because they were just dropped into this like funnel. It looked more like a bingo machine, you know, with apples. So I thought, the apples need to be persuaded to go into the thing and not come out. So they, once they're in there, they're dealt with. What I did was I turned the thing on its end and made it so that it had a compression chamber, basically, that reduces from about 5 inches down to 1/8 of an inch on the circumference of the wheel that's with the blades on. And so when you put the apples in, they that are cutting them, actually drag them into this section that reduces gradually down to 1/8 of an inch from 5 inches. So once they're in there, the wheel is turning against them, so it's compressing them and forcing them to into this smaller gap. I made the wheel, and I thought, how do I make the blades? They have to be stainless steel because the side will eat them away if they're anything else. What most people were doing were using stainless steel screws on a wheel that rotates, and then, but the problem with the stainless steel screws is that they're not very good at chopping the apples fine. They're good at ripping the skin, and the skin of the apple's quite tough. So what I did was I used stainless steel jubilee clips, and I cut them into sections about an inch long, and then I put them in the vise and folded them at 90 degrees and drilled two holes in them. So I've got like a long blade. And I put those on the wheel, which is, it's just a big wheel, a heavy wheel. I put 16 of those on. And then where the gaps were, I then put the stainless steel screws. So you've got these flat blades and the screws. So the screws deal with the skin and the flat blades deal with the flesh. I put it together. And Pete Simmons, who was the guy I spoke about earlier, the wasser butler, he was watching the process, getting very excited because we both realised it. We didn't know whether it would work. We just hoped it would work. And I spent a lot of time in my workshop. It was quite a long process. The day came when we fired it up for the first time. It's got an electric motor. So this big wheel inside this case, which we geared to turn 10 times a second. So the wheel is turning at 10 times a second, run off of an electric motor with a fan belt. There are 16 blades on the wheel. And so the blades pass across the apple 160 times every second. So it's, if it works, it's very efficient. We fired it up, and I remember dropping the first apple into it, and I didn't film it, and I should have filmed it because it was that moment, you know. So we switched it on, and it started to spin, and everything looked all right. So I've got this big cooking apple, and I held it above the top, dropped it into the chute, and it just went zoot, and in an instant it was mush. And so I went, oh, wow. So then Pete had a big bag of apples he brought. So then we started throwing apples in there. And the speed and efficiency of this thing is incredible. And it just turns them into perfect pomace for pressing. And so we were all really excited about it. And so we now proved that it works. The compression chamber works. The blades cut it right. The motor's powerful enough to handle it. So now I had to start thinking about how I was going to protect it from the cider. Because, of course, cider is very acidic, very destructive if it's on wood or metal or anything like that. I thought, what am I going to do? So, I mean, apart from making the whole thing out of stainless steel, which was an option, I decided to use an epoxy resin, which is a two-part resin. And once it's set, It's completely waterproof, and it's also that you can get food grade ones, and you can get it. So I've got a grade which is suitable to use with this, and I coated everything with this resin. And then I thought, well, it looks a bit plain. It looks nice, but it looks a bit plain. So I'll just paint it. I got loads of pictures of apples and various apple related stuff, and I printed them off, and using a technique that I used to use when I was doing airbrushing, I used to do painting. I got the pictures, and then I painted onto the pictures epoxy resin, and when it dries, you can then peel the back of the paper off, and it just leaves the image on the piece of resin. So then you paint some more resin onto the surface, and then drop this resin with a picture on it onto that, and it sort of melts, blends in. So I started doing that, and just basically covered it with pictures. And then I also used some lettering to say things like Wassail the Town, and you know, some of the things from the Wassailing song, some lines. And I just decorated it. Then it was finished and it was working. It was just amazing. It was just amazing that it did exactly what we wanted to do. And everybody was really excited. But then everybody was saying, oh, you can't use that. And I said, why not? Oh, it'll get ruined. And I said, well, you know, it's a machine. Its job is to do what it's going to do. So eventually it'll get ruined, but let's use it, because what are we going to do with it? Put it in the museum. I said, no, it's not going in the museum. I've built this to use, so let's use it. Oh, but people were saying to me, it'll get ruined if you start taking it over there. I said, well, it doesn't matter. If it gets ruined, it gets ruined, but during its lifetime, we'll have some fun with it. But I think 3 years now, we've taken it over there and used it. I also made the press as well. And a good friend of mine, Richard Southwell, who's a fantastic engineer, very clever guy. Unfortunately, he's dead. But while he was alive, he did some work with me in here. And he also, I got this ash tree that I cut down and planked. We made all the stuff for making the basket to go in the press. And he made that, which we still use now. So we've now got a mechanical apple scratter, which is made by me. And we've got a press, which I also made. We don't just use that. We still use the electronic ones as well, because, you know, we want to get it done as much as we can in the 2 days. That thing just works amazingly, and people love using it. We share the process of making the cider. All the people that are there take individual jobs, so they circulate. So somebody will be using the scratter, and then when they've had enough of that, they'll go on to using the press. Then you've got somebody taking the pomace from the scratter to the press. You've got other people that are washing the apples, and you've got other people that are sorting the apples to make sure we don't want white mould in the cider, make sure we're not putting any rubbish in there. Stones as well, don't want stones going through there or anything hard. And then you've got people doing the chemistry, because we don't rely solely on the natural yeasts which are on the skins. We don't rely on that because we don't want to have a failure. We want to make sure that we've got. So what we do is we do the chemistry, put some yeast, and we normally use a champagne yeast and sugar, and we do all that to make sure that you get a balance. Usually turns out about 7%, 7.2, something like that. You can do a second fermentation, of course, which we so often do, put into bottles with some apple juice and get it up to about just over 8%, which is quite nice. And the apple juice actually makes it taste that little bit sweeter. And there is. And so we make from between 500 and 900 litres in 2 days. And that's it, really.